Now we can come back to our first case. Is Ms. Gambino now here? We'll now hear argument in the case of the United States against Chong Hua. Wait, hold on a second. We may have disconnected Judge Mannion. Okay, we have Judge Mannion back. Hello? Okay, we do. Ms. Gambino, please proceed, but we are very disappointed that a member of our bar did not arrive on time. You have inconvenienced the court, perhaps more important, you have inconvenienced Ms. Coughlin, and we expect better from members of our bar.
I understand, Your Honor, and my apologies.
Please proceed.
Judge Easterbrook, Judge Evans, and Judge Mannion. Mr. Kwang Hua was a minor player in the offense of conviction in this case, and he was punished for activity that went beyond that for which he was personally responsible for. And the district court erred in two ways when it denied the minor role reduction in this case. First of all, as suggested by the guideline itself and by this court's case law, there are at least three different areas, three different issues to analyze when deciding whether to grant a minor role reduction or not. The first is outlined clearly in the guideline and as recognized by this court, is whether the defendant is less culpable compared with most others involved in the case. In this case, Mr. Hua was one of six co-defendants, and the charged conspiracy to which he pled guilty involved a period of time of a year and a half, from January 1999 to June 2000. Mr. Hua, however, did not become involved in any way until near the end of the conspiracy, at the earliest moment in February of 2000. And that's when he allowed Mr. Kwang Hua to use his name to purchase a cell phone. Now, Mr. Hua himself did not actually participate in any transactions until later than February, when he was involved on two occasions accompanying the main co-defendant, Mr. Vu's partner, Julie, or Fuang Lam, on two occasions when she had sales to customers, and on one occasion when he himself asked Julie to sell one of his friends a small amount of crack cocaine at a reduced price. And that was the extent of his involvement. With respect to what he was held responsible for, he was held responsible not only for the 2-gram transaction, which he directed by asking Julie to reduce the price for a friend, but he was held responsible for 127.6 grams, which included the sales that Ms. Fuang Lam conducted when he was present. So that creates an incredible gap between the 2 grams of actual personal responsibility, which the judge found, and the 127.6 grams, which were admittedly reasonably foreseeable to him, but not his personal responsibility. And the judge, in finding that he was personally accountable only for the 2-gram transaction, was inconsistent with respect to looking at the judge's finding him not eligible for the minor role activity, because when you look at the activity that he's personally responsible for, he was certainly held accountable for far more than he did. And he also did not look at the comparative roles beyond making a conclusory statement that Mr. Hua's behavior did not fall above or below that of any others. He did not go through and make any findings of fact with respect to his involvement compared to the others in this case. And finally, he focused primarily on whether Mr. Hua himself had an integral role in the conspiracy. And this was to the exclusion of the other factors mentioned. And he focused on the telephone, the provision of the telephone for Mr. Vu. And this made his analysis not only incomplete, but focusing exclusively on this was also made his analysis limited and clearly erroneous, because Mr. Hua, while providing the phone service, a single cell phone, certainly did not provide it for the length of the conspiracy. He was not the only provider of phone services for Mr. Vu, and it's not even clear from the record that he knew about Mr. Vu's drug transactions until a little bit later on when he became more actively involved. With respect to the other participants, the two partners, Phuong Vu and Phuong Lam, who initiated the conspiracy, never paid Mr. Hua. Mr. Hua did not profit from his activities. He was a friend, he was a hanger-on, and they used him, but he was not by any means fully knowledgeable about the conspiracy, since the majority of it had occurred before he was even brought into it. And the others in the conspiracy were the distributors, who also had a more active role than Mr. Hua in distributing the drugs and arranging for the sales. So in these respects, Mr. Hua was certainly among the least culpable. There was only one other person that the judge did accord a minor role to, and that was Mr. Nguyen Wong Trong. And he was involved in a sale that exceeded the quantity that was involved in Mr. Hua's recommendation that Julie reduce the price for the 2 grams that he was personally responsible for. In the end, what happened to Mr. Hua, though he was a minor participant and a first offender and someone who had very little to do in the course of this year and a half conspiracy, was that he was sentenced to 70 months. When had he had the opportunity to be given the minor role reduction for which he qualified and was eligible, he would have could have been sentenced to as little as 57 months, which makes a year difference in the sentence that he received. And certainly the evidence supported that Mr. Hua was a minor player, given the context not only of his own activities, but of the larger conspiracy, and that the court did not do a complete analysis to determine when he determined that he was not eligible. And for those reasons, we ask that the court's opinion be reversed and that he be allowed the 2-level reduction for minor role.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Ms. Coffin.
Judges, in this particular instance, the district court clearly did not err when it exercised its discretion in denying the defendant the minor role. Ms. Gambino said that the defendant was less culpable, but the court made the finding on the fact that his role, his participation, did not either exceed or fall below that of the other persons involved. And then the court was primarily addressing the bodyguard role that the defendant played in this particular instance, and in this particular conspiracy. And in fact, that was a unique role among the defendants in this particular conspiracy. But not only did he play the role of bodyguard and accompany Julie on not just one occasion of delivering crack, but on several occasions, and he also was clearly willing and able to accompany her the moment she found another source of supply for some more crack. But he also took it upon himself, or perhaps at the direction of the leader, Vu. He called Julie, again called her on the phone that was in his name, and cautioned her that she should do certain things, take certain precautions. If she had anything in the car, take it out of the car. If she had anything in her apartment, take it out of the apartment. And then Julie called him back that same night on the phone again that he gave, that was under his name, and said that she was being followed also by the police. And at that point in time, the defendant directed Julie what to do to keep herself and the supply safe. He said, go to a friend's house and don't go back to your apartment. On that alone, the court was clearly not in error in saying the defendant was not a minor player. But in addition to that was the phone itself. Now, Ms. Gambino has somewhat mixed up this issue in terms of saying, well, the defendant may have had multiple phones at the same time when the government was up on the wire for that 60 days. However, the record is clear that the defendant had a series of phones during this conspiracy. And while the government was up on the defendant's phone that Vu was using, there was only that phone. However, the court, in addressing that issue, said the defendant's role was integral by providing that telephone service. And the court said, though, perhaps duplicated by others. The service of providing that phone was essential to the running of this conspiracy. And for that reason alone, the court was reasonable in denying him a minor role. But the court had all of those bases for denying the defendant the minor role. And under this, under these facts and the analysis the court took, it was clearly not erroneous. The court didn't miss a detail, and the court held this defendant accountable only for the amount of crack that was delivered during the time the government was up on the wire, the 60 days. The defendant got the phone for Vu in February. The court held the defendant accountable only for the cocaine, the crack cocaine that he was instrumental in helping Julie deliver, and the crack cocaine that he was instrumental in telling Julie to deliver. And if the court has no further questions, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything further, Ms. Gambino?
First of all, the court said wrongly that Mr. Hua was fully knowledgeable about what was going on. And just from the dates alone, this was not true. And the court did not address the issue raised by Ms. Coughlin as to what Mr. Hua directed Julie to do. In fact, it was her partner, Vu, who had told her what to do, and the two of them that had agreed to ask Mr. Hua to accompany her. Mr. Hua accompanied her for questions of safety, but Mr. Hua was not involved in those sales, was not involved in receiving profits from those sales, nor was he involved in finding the buyers. That was somebody else's work to do. What we have is Mr. Hua involved in two accompanying Ms. Fuang Lam on two occasions and asking for a reduction for his friend on one, and the judge clearly found he was personally responsible only for 2 grams and held him accountable for 127, which made a significant difference in the punishment that Mr. Hua was facing. And for these reasons, we say that the court has erred not only in doing an incomplete analysis, but in making a finding that's contrary to the evidence that was presented to the court. And for those reasons, we ask you to reverse the district court's opinion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement, and the court is now in recess.